Last to pass, complete. 20, 15, 10, dancing down the sideline and into the end zone. Touchdown, Ned Anthony. Touchdown, Lee Davis Confederates. A tippy-toe move from Ned Anthony on a beautiful 30-yard strike. Adley really needs points on this drive, down 11. Offset eye formation, backward pass. This will be a running play for Johnson. Keeps his feet going around the corner. Is he in? Yes, he is. He did not step out of bounds. Lee Davis thought he did. Touchdown at Lee Raiders. And they are on the board with 3:12 to go here in the third quarter. They'll bring Stimson out here to the near side. Another wide out as well. But Evans, all eyes on him. Hand off Nathan. Left side. Swings around and breaks the plane of the end zone. Touchdown, Lee Davis Confederates. It's Nathan Evans on his second touchdown of the night.
You know, we kind of knew all week that, you know, we were just going to rush the football, and it was nothing that, you know, we had Hayden, and, you know, we have some backs that can run.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, we're going to go who's hot, and he started off hot, and we just stayed with him, and, you know, and that's just what we did. So it's nothing that we, you know, try to get away from what we've been doing. It's just we're going to feed the hot hand, and, you know, he really wanted to play in this game more than anything. So, you know, it's he's a senior, and, you know, Hayden had some good runs there at the end for us. And,
yep,
you know, he's a humble kid, and he's a captain for a reason. And, you know, I know he's not a, he doesn't care about who gets the credit. He just wants to win games. So.
Well, with the exception of a couple of wet Saturday games in the BISAA still to come, Week 7 of high school football is in the books. And let's talk about it. It's the final word in Central Region football. Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. We were very blessed here in the Richmond area. We got off pretty relatively dry tonight, where some other parts of the state got dumped on down there near Roanoke. I know they had what games did happen. Boy, they had some interesting footing, I'm sure. Come on in. Thanks so much for being with us. Rob Witham along with you. A busy Week 7 as the drive to the postseason is now fully underway, and we're not going to waste any time. Let's get to the scoreboard. We'll begin with what you just heard at the outset of the podcast, and that is highlights from our game of the week tonight. As number 12 Lee Davis improves to 5-1, and they get the 21-10 victory over the Atlee Raiders in the 26th annual Stew Bowl. I had never gotten to see the Stew Bowl trophy up close and personal, but it was into the press box tonight during halftime, and somebody sat it right beside me. And, of course, I was on the air. I really didn't get a chance to look at it. I glanced at it for a second, and right in the middle of it is a can of Mrs. Fearnow's Brunswick stew. I suspect it is a symbolic can, and that there is no stew in it, being that it's part of the trophy. But, of course, Mrs. Fearnow is a company based in eastern Hanover County, so it makes perfect sense. The Stew Bowl to Lee Davis for the second year in a row, 21-10, two touchdowns, 192 yards for Nathan Evans. He bookended the game, basically. He took the entire first possession of the night for Lee Davis, which was a 65-yard drive, 57 yards rushing for Nathan in that drive alone, in a drive that took 6.5 minutes off the clock and really set the tone for the night. The only yards Lee Davis gained on that opening drive, not on the rushing of Evans, was a penalty that ended up being half the distance to the goal against Atlee for 8 yards. So 57 rushing yards in the opening drive, 192 on the night. And you heard the call of the second touchdown with 2:36 to play that wrapped things up and made it a two-possession game again at 21-10. You also heard Ned Anthony's 30-yard touchdown pitch and catch from Zach Lass, where he tiptoed down the right sideline to score to make it 14-3. And then Atlee with a nice comeback drive. And John Johnson's 22-yard, I don't know how they're going to put it officially, but in my view, from where we were, it was a lateral from Warren back to Johnson. And he was able to go around left side. And some of the Lee Davis players stopped on the play thinking he'd stepped out of bounds, but nobody blew a whistle. He kept on rolling. He stayed in bounds and got in for the touchdown. But not enough for the Raiders as they go down to 2-4 on the season. Lee Davis improves to 5-1, and now they got to head to Kreider Stadium next Friday night to face number 5 Highland Springs, a battle of 5-1 teams in 5A South Central, and we'll have it on the Game of the Week live and exclusively on WHAN Radio, 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, online on the RVA Sports Network and our family of websites, including RVASportsNetwork.com, HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, and ChesterfieldCountySports.net. And on the TuneIn Radio app, if you search Radial, and thanks to those of you who have done that and joined us on your mobile devices. You may be at one game and you've got a bud in your ear listening to our game. It's very simple. If you don't have the TuneIn Radio app, go to the Apple Store or Google Play, download the TuneIn Radio app, and then once you've done it, set things up, go and search Radial in the search engine, R-A-D-I-A-L-L, R-A-D-I-A-L-L. That's WHAN Radio's 24-hour online music channel, variety music channel, and we take it over on Friday nights in the fall for Friday Night Football. So you put that in your favorites, and then you just bring in the TuneIn app, you bring it up every Friday night, punch on Radial, boom, you've got us wherever you are. All right, the scoreboard, let's do it. Number one, Manchester. Early struggles with Midlothian. What a game effort tonight by the Trojans, who entered close to the eighth and final position in the 4A East playoff race, and we'll talk more about that in just a few moments as we get the out-of-town scores in and start talking about that. Scoreboard first, then we'll go through the regions and what we think we'll see come Tuesday when the new VHSL rankings come out. So number one, Manchester wins 54-26. They're 6-0, and they'll head to Chester Fritz Stadium next Friday night to take on number 4 Hermitage, who took care of Deep Run tonight and Deep Run's homecoming, ending their 3-game winning streak, 42-14 the final. Hermitage now 5-1 and getting ready for the big test against the Lancers next Friday. That'll be a great one. There was a battle between two teams in our poll tonight, and that was down at Dinwiddie. And Dinwiddie was held in check, considering what they've done offensively all season long. But Kevon Pope with a big return for a touchdown. Second half, the Generals are able to finally put away what was a fantastic effort by Thomas Dale. 28-19 the final. You know, Central District, just like really any of the districts in the Richmond area, once you get into district play, if you're playing a good opponent, it's hard. It's just hard. You're now into October. Everybody's got nicks and bruises and cuts and dings and injuries and whatnot. And when you get rivalries, teams that have been playing each other for decades, Thomas Dale wanted so bad to go down to Dinwiddie and come away giving the Generals their first loss, and they gave it their all. But the Knights fall short. Dinwiddie wins, goes to 6-0. Thomas Dale falls to 4-2. Number 5, Highland Springs, who again will host number 12, Lee Davis, on our Game of the Week next Friday night, shuts out Hanover 42-0. Springers to 5-1. Hawks are now 1-5. Number 6, Douglas Freeman, some early struggles against Glen Allen. Tanner DeBrucke scored early for them. It was 6-0 late second quarter, and then they just turned on the afterburners after halftime, and the Rebels are 6-0, 43-0 winners over the Jaguars, who are 0-6. First upset of the night in the NBC 12 RVA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll, Patrick Henry, number 9, their first loss of the year. They go to Verina, where we have told you time and time again, it does not matter how Verina is, whether they make the playoffs or not. Verina is a very difficult place to go and win a football game. Lee Davis learned that a few weeks ago. That's their only loss, and now Patrick Henry's only loss on the field at Verina. Verina gets the win 26-14, pulling away in the second half, breaking the 14-14 tie. PH now 5-1. They'll go home and have homecoming against Windlass Armstrong, who was shut out tonight 72-0 by Henrico. And Henrico improves to 5-1. Verina at 3-3 and right back into the postseason discussion in 5A South Central, and we'll explain why in a moment. Number 10, Monacan. Mark Davis and I on the Sidelines pregame show tonight talked about would they come out kind of like a wounded animal after that 42-7 loss at LC Bird Monday night. Quick turnaround and a James River team coming in off a big win Monday night over Chancellor. The answer is yes. They struck, they attacked early, often, and the Chiefs rolled 42-0 over James River. Rapids just scheduled, it was just unkind to them tonight. They ran into a buzzsaw. It was also homecoming at Monacan, so you put all that together, and the Chiefs with a huge win. And they go to 6-1 on the season. Don't forget, their bye week is at the end of the regular season, so they've got three games left in the schedule, and that's it. The other teams that they're fighting in 4A East all have a game in hand because Eastern View was off this week. This was their bye week. We mentioned Henrico beating Armstrong. Our game of the week, number 12, Lee Davis, a winner. Hopewell shuts out Meadowbrook 16-0. Big win at Myrner tonight for Ronnie Walker and company. Hopewell gets the win. They are fighting in 3A East, and we'll check that scoreboard shortly. The big battle of the unbeatens out in Powhatan. That's where Matt Estridge was for On the Sidelines tonight on NBC 12, and a game worthy of their game of the week nod as Louisa holds on late to hold off Powhatan 28-20. Lions get the road win. They're 6-0. The question will be, come Tuesday, did they get enough power points to continue to hold off Dinwiddie for that top seed in the 4A East region? Powhatan falls to 5-1, and that's good news for Eastern View. That's good news for Monacan. It's good news for Chancellor. We'll talk about that in a moment. Thomas Jefferson gets their third win of the year, 21-16 this afternoon over John Marshall, and TJ firmly in the playoff picture in 3A East. Mills Godwin survives a homecoming scare, and Wesley Duggar gets shaken up. But in the end, Mills Godwin gets a 13-12 win over rival J.R. Tucker. And the Tigers, talk about snake bit, they are now 0-6. Cosby gets a late touchdown to make it a two-score win, 26-14 over a feisty Huguenot Falcons squad tonight. Prince George squares their record at 3-3, 48-21 winners over Colonial Heights. Also getting to 3-3, also in 5A South Central, Metoica pulls away from Petersburg and gets the win 38-14. The Wave, after starting 2-0, they are now 2-4. But still, playoffs, good possibility in 3A East. A couple of BISAA scores from Friday afternoon. Woodbury Forest knocks off Collegiate, hands in their second loss of the year, 35-16. And in a wild shootout that did not come to a conclusion until an onside kick was taken care of, St. Christopher's holds off Fork Union 50-42. Looked like the Saints were going to cruise. Fork Union put the pedal to the metal offensively in the fourth quarter and gave the Saints a scare, but the Saints come away with the 8-point win. Clover Hill defeats George Wythe 48-16. Congratulations to the Cavaliers. Goochland stays unbeaten 49-6 over Buckingham, and they'll solidify their role as top dog right now in the 2A East region. King William down at one time tonight 24-8. Goes on a 30-6 run and knocks off Charles City 38-30, the final score, as King William tries to get back into the playoff picture in 2A East. Jamestown knocks off New Kent tonight 29-8, the final. And Caroline, after getting that first win last week, shut out tonight by James Monroe, 21-0 is the final score. So let's talk playoffs. And I know that, excuse me, most teams still have four games left in the regular season. But the numbers are coming out now every Tuesday, and people want to know, is my team in, out? Did we solidify our positioning tonight with a win? How bad did it hurt us that we lost? Let's go right down region by region. And we'll begin with 6A South. Manchester had a very comfortable lead of like 1 2/3 points over Colonial Forge for the number one spot in the 8-team sub-region between conferences 3 and 4 in 6A South. They will, I don't know if they will extend the lead at all, but they will certainly maintain the lead. Colonial Forge tonight, winners over Forest Park, big, 52-14, the final there. That's going to hurt Forest Park trying to get into the postseason. They were 0.6 of a point out of the 8th and final playoff berth, which right now belongs to Cosby coming into tonight's game. So they're going to lose to Colonial Forge, but that's losing to a 5-1 team, so you'll get a few extra points for that. But Cosby winning against Huguenot, the win is what's important. Now, they beat, Cosby did, a 4A school. Huguenot moving up to 4A a couple of years ago. And so there's 20 points for winning that game, and then you get extra points for what Huguenot has done during the season. And so Cosby, if Forest Park had pulled off the big upset, Forest Park probably would have taken over. But with the loss tonight, Colonial Forge will maintain second position. Freedom Prince William, bye week this week for them. They get back into action next week at home to Riverbend. And we mentioned Riverbend because they're the team right ahead of Cosby at number seven. So Manchester 1, they'll stay that way. Colonial Forge 2, they'll stay that way. So will Freedom in third. Thomasdale losing tonight, and that's going to kind of separate Freedom from Thomasdale a bit. Freedom was 0.2 of a point or so ahead of Thomasdale this week. Thomasdale will fall just a little bit, and they'll probably stay in fourth. Now at 4-2, and strength of schedule is going to have a lot to do with it, losing to a 6-0 Dinwiddie team. James River was below them. They lost tonight. That is good news for C.D. Hilton. C.D. Hilton was sixth behind James River, and C.D. Hilton winners tonight big time, shutting out Garfield 56-0, the final score. And so that's going to help their positioning. They were less than a tenth of a point behind James River. They should overtake James River for fifth. Will they have enough to overtake Thomasdale? I don't think so. So what we're probably looking at come Tuesday in 6A South is Manchester, Colonial Forge, Freedom, still your top three. Thomasdale will likely hold on to fourth. C.D. Hilton will take over fifth. And then Riverbend, who was in seventh, also nipping at the heels. Riverbend defeated Woodbridge tonight, 24-3 the final. Riverbend, now up to 4-3, will likely also climb over James River. So as quickly as James River rose last week in the standings from 8th to 5th, they're probably going now to drop back. In fact, they could drop close to Cosby, and it's going to be probably 7 James River, 8 Cosby, or 7 Cosby, 8 James River. It's going to go along those lines. But we know that James River and Cosby will stay in the 8-team sub-region lead. They'll be in that top 8 because we know number 9 Forest Park lost tonight and number 10 Franklin County also lost tonight. So all 4 Chesterfield schools will remain in the top 8. There'll just be some positioning changes in the bottom 4. James River's going to fall. Hilton's going to move up. Riverbend's going to move up. And Cosby may end up at 7, James River 8, or vice versa. But that's what we suspect comes Tuesday. Now to 5A South Central. Bird tonight, idle. So they stay at 5-1. They'll pick up a few idle points because of games that involve teams that they have already defeated. They'll get 2 points for the Monacan win tonight, et cetera, et cetera. Douglas Freeman, who started the night unbeaten but a tenth of a point behind in second place. Again, strength of schedule being in that Colonial District hurting Freeman. They win tonight, but they beat a winless Glen Allen team. So you get the 24 points in 5A, but that's all you get. And you don't get bonus points because Glen Allen had won 3 games or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how, having Bird idle this week, if Freeman gets enough to overtake them. Again, they were only a tenth of a point behind. We haven't had time, obviously, to run the numbers. All of this is on our best eye test that we can give you. And again, the new numbers officially come out from the Virginia High School League office on Tuesday, usually in the morning. And you stay with Twitter on the RVA Sportsnet. And our other Twitter feeds, wherever you may be, at Hanover Sports and Ryko Sports and Chesterfield Sports. And the minute they come out, we put them up on Twitter and then post them at RVASportsNetwork.com. Now, tied for third, 2.5 points behind Douglas Freeman, were both Henrico and Highland Springs. Well, they both win tonight. Henrico beats a winless 3A team. Highland Springs wins against a 1-win 4A team. That should break the tie and give Highland Springs the slight edge in third come Tuesday morning. Of course, the other games involving the teams that those two teams have played are going to come into play, but Highland Springs is going to get an extra point because Meadowbrook beat Hopewell, and so you get 1 point for each team that you lose to when they win. And so that's an extra point for Highland Springs there. Henrico, with Patrick Henry losing tonight, had they won, they would have picked up a point, but Verina got the win, so there's a point for Henrico. It's going to be very close, but we think Highland Springs is going to break that tie and take third place. Hermitage beating a three-win deep run team. They were 1 point behind in fifth place entering tonight. Will they get enough points to do anything to change that fifth place position? And the answer is not sure, don't think so, but do think that they will cut the margin with Henrico and Highland Springs. Now, the final three spots in 5A South Central, here we go. It's up for grabs. Meadowbrook falls tonight to Hopewell. They started the night in sixth, six-tenths of a point ahead of Lee Davis. Lee Davis wins tonight, beats a two-win team in 5A. So they'll hop over Meadowbrook. Mills Godwin wins tonight over a winless team in 5A. They were eight-tenths of a point behind. They likely are going to see Verina hop over them, because Verina, even though they're 2-3 and they were six-tenths of a point behind Mills Godwin to start tonight, they beat 5-0 Patrick Henry. So they win against a fellow 5A team, and they get the 10 bonus points coming to beating a team with five wins. And, of course, Godwin gets no bonus points because J.R. Tucker was winless. Matoaka will probably still be on the outside looking in because they were six-tenths of a point behind Verina to start the night. They win tonight, but they beat a two-win team in 3A in Petersburg. Not nearly as many points as Verina is going to get. So Lee Davis should go overtake Meadowbrook and be number six when the new numbers come out on Tuesday. How far will Meadowbrook fall is the question, and how high will Verina jump is the question. We suspect Verina will be in the top eight again. They were tied for eighth with Matoaka a week ago and then fell out after Monday's results. And Mills Godwin, even with the win, they might be number nine on the outside looking in. It'll be between them and Meadowbrook is what's going to end up happening most likely there. So 5A South Central again, Bird Freeman, toss up for 1-2 since Bird was idle this week. In terms of number three, the tie between Highland Springs and Henrico should be broken barely by Highland Springs because they beat a team that had a win and is in 4A. Henrico beat a winless team in 3A. Ancillary numbers I don't think will be enough to supplant that. Hermitage will stay in fifth, maybe cut the gap a little bit, under a point, and then that 6-7-8 area, I think Verina jumps in. Godwin may be the victim going out unless Meadowbrook, they just lose a lot of points in comparison to the other three teams, Lee Davis, Mills, Godwin, and Verina, because all three won, even though Godwin beat a winless team. So that 6-7-8-9-10 area in 5A South Central is going to be just jam-packed and jelly-tight, probably, until the end of the regular season. Okay, in 5A North, Patrick Henry suffers their first loss, as we mentioned, and right behind them, Massaponics. Patrick Henry entered, by the way, in the North region of 5A in fourth place, six-tenths of a point behind number three, Stonebridge. Brook Point's number one, unbeaten. Potomac Falls is number two. They're unbeaten. Stonebridge, the last year's 5A North champions, they have one loss on the season. So Massaponics gets a win tonight. So we know that Massaponics is going to leap over Patrick Henry in the standings. North Stafford lost tonight to the top seed Brook Point, 55-17. So the question will be, do they fall further than Patrick Henry falls? Maybe, maybe not. Patrick Henry Roanoke, we don't have a report on them, and we're not 100% sure that they even played tonight. And because of the weather issues, there were a lot of games out in the Roanoke Valley and in the western half of the state that got rained out and moved to either Saturday or Monday. Albemarle was eighth, and Albemarle gets a win tonight 26-18 over Charlottesville. And so Patrick Henry, coming up Tuesday morning, they could be anywhere between 5th and maybe 8th. They want to try to stay in that top 8 because, of course, top 8 means you get a home game. Number 9, Stafford, was the team that lost to Massaponics. So that'll help Patrick Henry. Then there's Atlee. They were at the bottom, tied for 15th, just barely in the postseason. But they were only a point out of 12th place. But they had three teams behind them out of the postseason, six-tenths of a point behind Atlee, who was tied with Orange for 15th position. The teams just in front of Orange and Atlee, Potomac and Briar Woods. Potomac defeats Mountain View tonight, 31-13, the final in that game. So Potomac is going to leap over Mountain View in the standings, and Mountain View, who was 12, and Potomac, who was 13, are going to at least flip-flop places. And that will open the door for some other teams as well, such as Orange, who rolled over Western Albemarle tonight. 63-22 is the final score in that game. And so for the Atlee Raiders, it looks like this. Mountain View loses, so they were the ranked 12th, a point ahead of Atlee. They're going to fall back. Potomac, Briar Woods, they were less than a half a point ahead of Orange and Atlee. Briar Woods only 2/10 of a point ahead. Briar Woods gets the win tonight. Final score over Westfield, 35-34. And so that's Briar Woods defeating last year's 6A state champion. So a huge win for them to go to 3-4. They'll stay ahead of Orange and Atlee. The most important news of the night is, number one, Orange won. And so they break the tie with Atlee. The teams that were just behind Orange and Atlee and now on the outside looking in the top 16 in 5A North, George Marshall, they were 17th and they lost. But the two teams tied for 18th, both Falls Church and Jeb Stewart, they were just 6/10 of a point behind Atlee. They both win. They both get victories in Week 7. And so the Raiders Tuesday morning are going to be on the outside looking in. Now, they've got to play 3-3 Verina. They've got to play 5-1 Henrico. They've got to go to 5-1 Patrick Henry in 2 weeks. They have Armstrong to end the season. So there are opportunities there for the Raiders to pick up a couple of wins with over teams with a lot of victories. And that gives them some extra points. But they're going to need to win two of those three games to stay in the discussion. Because if they can win two of those three games and they beat Armstrong, then they finish 5-5. And we can talk about possibly a 5A North region bid. If they only get one and they beat Armstrong at the end and they finish at 4-6, they may be in the same situation Patrick Henry was in last year where they just missed the postseason. It's really going to depend upon not only Atlee's performance, but the strength of schedule and the later performances of Briar Woods, Orange, George Marshall, Falls Church, and J.E.B. Stewart. Now let's get to 4A East. Coming into tonight, Dinwiddie was 4/10 of a point behind Louisa, both of them at 5-0. Louisa at 27.2, Dinwiddie at 26.8. Louisa beats 5-0 Powhatan, so they get 22 points for winning in 4A. They'll get 10 extra points for beating Powhatan. That's 32 points. Then plus the ancillary points based on what other teams have done that Louisa has already defeated. Now, Dinwiddie, they get a win over a 6A team. That's 26 points right off the get-go. And Thomas Dale has 4 wins on the year. So 2 times 4 is 8. 34 points for Dinwiddie right off the top tonight for the win against Thomas Dale. And again, for Louisa, it is 32 points for winning in 4A and getting a win over a 5-0 team. So 34 points for Dinwiddie, 32 points for Louisa, plus the ancillary points for each team. They are going to be neck and neck for number one coming up on Tuesday. Powhatan, with the loss, may stay in front of Eastern View because they were idle this week. Eastern View will only get a couple of points here and there. They're 6-0, but they were idle, so they'll pick up some wins if teams that they have defeated got victories on Friday night. Monacan will be interesting to see what happens because they beat a 6A team, so that's 26 points. That's big. And James River has 3 wins, so add another 6 points to that. 32 big points. Monacan coming in a point and a half behind Eastern View in 5th place. What we know for sure is that Monacan will hold off Chancellor for 5th. Chancellor, who was in 6th, 3/10 of a point behind Monacan, they beat Cortland, who's number 8 in the rankings in 4A East. And so Chancellor will stay ahead of King George. We'll obviously put distance between them and Cortland. Midlothian and Huguenot both missing big opportunities tonight to pick up wins and draw closer, or in Midlothian's case, if they'd have won tonight, they'd have overtaken Cortland and gotten into the postseason race. But it's not over yet for Midlothian. Huguenot, it's getting close. Caroline losing tonight, tough for them, and Hanover losing tonight. Unless they go on a four-game winning streak, I'm not sure there's a path for Hanover in the postseason, and that would be a shame because it would be the first time they've missed the postseason in 11 years. So what would we think out of 4A East Conferences 19 and 20? Louisa Dinwiddie neck and neck for number one. Powhatan, even with the loss, may stay ahead of Eastern View, who was idle. Monacan is certainly going to draw a lot closer to Eastern View. Will they draw close enough to take over fourth? Of course, fourth place means a home game in the first round. We'll find out. Chancellor should stay in sixth, King George in seventh, and Cortland will get eighth almost by default. That really is a seven-team region right now. In 3A East, Hopewell with the nice win over Meadowbrook tonight at Myrner Field, and they moved to 4-2. Brentsville gets a win tonight. Brentsville District was number one going into the weekend in conferences 26 and 28, where the top eight teams come in. So Brentsville will hang on to first, but Hopewell's going to get some nice points for winning against a 5A school who has three wins. So they're going to cut that 1.6-point margin quite a bit. Could be very close. James Monroe will stay third. They beat Caroline. Culpeper and Thomas Jefferson were tied for fourth, and Culpeper lost, and TJ won. They got that third win of the year over John Marshall. So TJ likely will be now in fourth place when the new numbers come out on Tuesday. Petersburg will probably stay sixth. George Wythe will see, depends upon how William Monroe did. They were eighth going into the night, and we do not have a report on them. So Hopewell cuts the margin probably some because of defeating a 5A school. But they're still trying to catch Brentsville District. Looks like it'll still be Brentsville 1, Hopewell 2 come Tuesday. But they'll also separate themselves some from James Monroe because they were only 0.2 of a point ahead of James Monroe coming into tonight. And Hopewell winning, again, extra points for beating a 5A school, two classifications up from you. Whereas James Monroe beat a 4A one-win Caroline team. So good news for Hopewell tonight. Goochland stays top 2A East, not a problem. With their win tonight, King William, with their win over Charles City, will maybe get them into the top 16. They were 17th to start the play tonight. They were just behind George Mason for the 16th and final bid in an all-in 2A East region. So that's the way the VHSL numbers look, kind of our projections, our look. We'll see what happens. They'll get the official release on Tuesday, and when they do, we'll have them for you, first of all, on Twitter. As soon as they're released, we'll post them on Twitter, and then we'll put them up at rvasportsnetwork.com, and then our next Central Region podcast, Central Region Now podcast, will be on Tuesday. We should have it up right as or just before you get out of school on Tuesday afternoon, so you can download it and listen in, find out what the latest numbers are, where your school is, what work you have to get done in order to clinch a berth in the postseason, and our WHAN RVA Sports Network live high school football playoff coverage for the 15th year will begin on November the 11th. All right, fans, quickly to wrap things up, we look ahead. Saturday, we're going to be at Day Field for Randolph-Macon football as they have their ODAC home opener against Bridgewater. Both teams won their conference opener last week. So somebody's going to stay undefeated, get to 2-0. Got to win at home if you're Randolph-Macon. ODAC, a one-bid league for the NCAA Division III playoffs this year. So they need the win here on home turf. Even though it may be wet, it is still synthetic. 1 o'clock kick, updates on Hanover sports. And then, coming up later this week, Monday evening, we'll be live at Atlee High School for a good field hockey matchup between Atlee, who's 9-3, and the surprise field hockey team in the Central Region this year, Patrick Henry, who is 8-3. We'll try to avenge an earlier loss to the Raiders. It's senior night for Atlee, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Tuesday night, back at Atlee for our Game of the Week girls volleyball, number 5 Hanover at number 6 Atlee. That's coming up on Tuesday on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RVA Sports Network. Make sure you subscribe. Click the subscribe button at our YouTube channel. When you do, we won't spam you or bother you, but we will send you an alert every time we either A, post a new video, or B, go live with a high school event on the RVA Sports Network. That's Tuesday. Wednesday night, we'll be back at Randolph-Macon for ODAC volleyball action. The top two teams in the preseason poll collide, unbeaten in the conference, Randolph-Macon hosting Washington and Lee. Got a lot of local talent there in that matchup, especially freshmen. Anna Soroka of Lee Davis over on WNL's side. But for Randolph-Macon, both Hanover grad Miranda Hall and James River grad Alexia Wolf making their presence known as outside hitters early in their careers at Randolph-Macon, who, of course, made it all the way to the Elite Eight in the Division III National Tournament last year. Thursday, we're keeping open. And then next Friday, our game of the week, number 12 Lee Davis at number 5 Highland Springs, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. We begin with the On the Sidelines pregame show powered by Sheehy Ford of Ashland as Mark Davis from NBC 12 and I will sit down and set the landscape for Week 8 at the Central Region. And join us for the game of the week, won't you? 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, online on the RVA Sports Network and our family of websites and on the TuneIn Radio app on Radial, R-A-D-I-A-L-L. So again, next edition of the podcast coming up Tuesday, probably early afternoon, just as soon as we can get it up and running so you can tune in after school on Tuesday, get the latest VHSL football playoff standings, and take our first look at Week 8 of high school football. Central Region Now, an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network, solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or other use of the podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is strictly prohibited. I want to thank all of our people out there tonight, all of our reporters, all of our tweeters, everybody who texted us with updates and scores and finals. We can't do it without you. We've said it before. We'll say it again until we don't do it anymore. You are the network. You are RVA Sports Network. Thank you for being a part of it. We appreciate it very much. Rob Witham saying thanks so much for being with us for Week 7 of high school football. Back at it Tuesday, our next podcast, and then our next game of the week, football a week from tonight, and our next game of the week, volleyball broadcast on Tuesday. And the new Super 6 polls come out Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern on Twitter. On the RVA Sports Net, we'll have a new number one in boys volleyball. We know that because Monacan shocked number one James River Thursday night. Congratulations to the Chiefs. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks for being with us on the podcast. Thanks for supporting the RVA Sports Network. And we'll talk to you again soon. Have a safe weekend, and we will see you on the sideline.